9:18 on the Wake Up Zone, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors. Mark Howard, along with Blaine Bishop, Kevin off this week, and our producer, Jonathan Schaefer, getting it done from the Zone studio. Let's bring in our old friend and college football writer for CBSSports.com, Dennis Dodd. Dennis, good morning.
How are you guys? Nice to hear you again.
We're hanging in there. Dennis, you've written so much in the last, you know, couple of months about the evolving story of college football, but your latest column essentially said TikTok. College football, maybe a few months ago, was talking about different scenarios, but suddenly, we're closing in on August 29th. Which would be, week zero of the college football season. But talk about what you discussed in terms of time running out now on college football.
Well, just through this whole thing, since this started March 12th in the NCAA tournament, got shut down in the NCAA, stopped the spring athletics at that point, that the stakeholders always said, well, we've got time. We've got time to figure out the calendar. We've got time to figure out testing. We've got time to, figure out a schedule, how we're going to play. Not so much anymore. We're going to know, guys, by the end of this month, likely which way this is headed. Because actual practice for those week one games on Labor Day weekend begins August 7th. And I don't think it would be prudent to send players out there in the middle of a pandemic to start swapping sweat and practicing and being in close quarters if you're thinking about playing. You've got to make a decision. You either go or no go. And frankly, right now, I don't have to tell anybody. It doesn't look good right now.
What about the possibility of moving it to the spring?
Well, that's always been out there. It was the last resort because there is no other resort. I mean, this is not a sport that lends itself to being moved around on the calendar, obviously. So, yeah, I mean, that's the last resort with the assumption that things are going to be better. Look, the trail they're going right now is, fingers crossed, we hope, this thing doesn't break out, that we have to shut it down 5 weeks in. Because you can't control it. The virus doesn't care. Would things be better next spring? It might. But we don't know. It's in the middle of flu season, part of that year is going to be. You're going to be bringing players back and working more inside than they would now because of the climate, because of the winter. And there's all, then you get to the possibility of playing two seasons in 1 year. And at what point, as I said, little about this right now looks like it's sensitive to education, the ramp up. Now, the Ivy League is going to go to the spring today. Yeah, they've been leaders in this. They were the first to cancel their conference tournaments. They're going to go to the spring in football and hope to ride it out then with conference games only. But the big boys, the Power Five, FBS, it has little to do with education right now. It's all about getting a portion of that TV money.
Dennis, one of the things that you wrote about was the inequities that exist in terms of testing and protocols and everything else when you go state to state. And that's obviously going to carry over when you start making considerations on if we're going to see football. Talking about what's going on in California, what's going on in Texas. So what happens if the rest of the country is ready and those schools in those states aren't?
Well, I've said this from the beginning. I think, if there's football, the commissioners have made it clear in the fall that not all 10 conferences may go. And within those 10 conferences, not all the teams within those conferences may go. I mean, I clearly think that we could have teams play 6 games, others play 8, others play 10, and it just becomes a mishmash. How do you figure out how to decide a champion? And you've got, guys, 41 states that have major college football teams in them. Within those states, you have different health boards, different city health boards, county commissions, state health boards. They've also got to be aligned, too. I mean, who wants to go to Florida right now? But that's what I said. It doesn't look good. And if you're not, I haven't heard anything talk about students on campus lately. USC is going to go online this fall. Does that mean they're out? Remember, at one time it was no students on campus, no football. Seems like there's some waffling on that.
We're speaking to Dennis Dodd from CBSSports.com.
Well, Dennis, you mentioned a lot of different things, you know, with the protocols different in each state just because of the state of, you know, where they're at with the virus. I guess I want to go in a little different direction and the empowerment of the college athlete. Where is the fine line with some of these college athletes? And they're kind of putting the coaches in a position where they almost are forced to at times to cave into to some of their demands, which they may disagree with. How do they politely disagree with them as well?
Yeah, the athlete has been empowered. I think we've seen that during this downtime, whether it's Black Lives Matter, whether it's name, image, and likeness. But it was coming anyway. I just think they've gotten smarter. I think they've been enlightened to what's going on. But a lot of this enterprise is built on their sweat and labor, and they're not compensated for it. And don't tell me about free scholarships, because for the most part, those scholarships are renewable year to year. And if the coach doesn't like your performance, you can find a way to take that scholarship away. So, and a scholarship isn't going to protect you from having two knee replacements 20 years from now. So they realize that. I mean, you saw what happened with the very insensitive conduct of Mike Gundy at Oklahoma State. Illinois players spoke out. If UCLA players spoke out, they weren't sure about their health care going into voluntary workouts. So I think that's going to be part of the future. It's just a reality. These coaches are going to have to deal with this. It dawned on me, Blaine, this week that, you know, have we be really farther along in this whole enterprise right now if we had a players union? I'm not saying that they could be paid or anything like that. It's just, if you could negotiate with the players union on work conditions, testing, everything else, doesn't make them professional, but it sure as heck would make them safer if you can negotiate with them. But we're going to get that way when we have name, image, and likeness. Coaches are going to have to start meeting with marketing agents. And those marketing agents at some point or another can start talking about playing time. But that's the new reality. I don't think it's necessarily a negative.
What do you think is going to happen now with all this process on the recruiting kind of changing a little bit, let alone guys not to play in the spring on transfers, and even not just the transfer portals, a lot of guys just sitting there, but will we see more? Is this the beginning and the end of transferring, from the start till where we are today?
Well, the way it sits and everything's in a mishmash now because of the virus, we are supposed to get legislation on one-time transfers coming out of the NCAA convention in January. It's not going to be a waiver. It's going to be a legislation. Well, you can do it, you know, which is absolutely fair. There's whatever it is. There's five sports, football among them, where you have to sit out for no, you know, good reason. It's very hypocritical. For every other sport, you can transfer once in your career without sitting out. Why shouldn't every sport be like that? So that's going to happen. I mean, that's more of what the player empowerment you're talking about. I remember Nick Saban saying a few years ago, am I going to have to change the way I coach? And I immediately thought, you know what? Maybe you do. And maybe that's not a bad thing for him or any other coach, because they're going to have to consider this, you know, with their conduct with these players. And look at the basketball landscape. 40% of basketball players transfer in Division I on average before the end of their sophomore year. I don't know how you end that, but I sure as heck like the freedom, because they have the same freedom as any other student on campus.
What do you think about maybe pushing back and delaying the start of the college football season, particularly the Power Five? And do you think that's possible and more realistic than ever before now?
Oh, yeah, that's all on the table. I mean, everything is on the table. A late start, an October start, a November start, two-semester football, conference games only, conference games plus one non-conference game, spring football. It's all on the table. Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner, was quoted as saying there are 18 to 20 possibilities out there. I have a hard time thinking of 18 to 20, but the commissioners sure have thought of it, and all that's on the table. You could definitely do that just to get in some sort of semblance of a season, because the opposite of that is no football, and if that happens, we're going to see schools give up college athletics, and maybe on the lower end, schools cease to become schools. They just can't afford to do it anymore.
We're on with Dennis Dodd, national college football writer for CBSSports.com.
Dennis, around here, there, you know, we have a lot of Group of Five schools. We have, you know, the OVC. We have all of that. Talk about the differing mindsets, you know, at the Power Five level and the Group of Five level that that doesn't have the kind of TV money, the media rights money that the Power Five has.
Well, the biggest part of that is below the FBS level. Largely, those schools in FBS Division II and Division III can't afford to test. They're just shooting these guys with their temperature gauges on their forehead as they come in the door. I talked to an FBS program yesterday, a head coach, who said players are paying for their tests on their own, as they report. In other words, they got a note from their doctor. That's incredible to me. And his president has told him, you know, if we have to test during the season, which I think everyone has to do, we'll find the money for it. They estimated it at $200,000. But the point is, these lower division schools can't afford it. I mean, there's some schools, some of the MAC schools in FBS can't afford testing. So that's the biggest thing. That's what I'm talking about. They have to avoid at all costs sending these players out there with any hint that they're human shields or mercenaries being thrown out there to get money, you know, get money for these programs. And that's what's happening at some level already.
Well, yeah, you're right. And the other aspect of this is, you know, we're placing a lot of emphasis on workouts and even when they get to preseason practices. But then if you start exposing these players to the college community, you know, what are we going to be in store for during the regular season when, you know, our whole offensive line and the starting quarterback test positive?
Concern. I wrote about that last week where, you know, you had, I think there's at least six schools, Power Five or maybe FCS, that have shut down for a period of time after positive outbreak. Well, what's going to happen when 40,000 students come on campus? And again, like I mentioned, they actually start playing football and practicing football. I don't think the positives are going to go down. Maybe I'm missing something, but, you know, the answer to this has been the answer since the beginning. Until we have a vaccine or some sort of therapeutic to treat it, we're just going to be dancing between the raindrop and hope the big thunderstorm doesn't hit, because that's what we're doing right now.
And then there's the whole morality, and you talked about this a little bit, of having college athletes who aren't being paid. Yeah, they're getting scholarships, but this is a lot different than the pro sports, where, as you mentioned, there's no union for the collegiate athletes. Everybody else has a union that's negotiating with them as far as the protocols and everything else. And there just seems to be this mentality that the players are being sort of used as guinea pigs.
Yeah, and I get that they want to play. I'm not saying they don't want to play, but sometimes they don't know what they don't know. I talked to an infectious disease doctor from UAB, Michael Sag. I would urge people to look him up. He's fantastic, very knowledgeable. He actually had COVID, and he said, he told me, it runs through all your organs when it goes through you. Now, some don't even feel it, but some have, they're wrecked for life. We don't know. I mean, 3 months later, he's over it. He can't climb a set of stairs without being short of breath. He doesn't know if his lungs are damaged permanently. And look, I know in the younger population, it doesn't seem to hit them that much. But it's the whole mask argument. I hate to get into that. But you can give it to somebody else. You can give it to your 65-year-old coach. I counted in FBS, there are 17 coaches, head coaches, never mind assistants, who are 60 years old or older. That's not good. So it's a bad look right now. And to think it's just going to magically disappear, I think, is naive. I agree with everything you said. I think it's a tough time.
Other sort of, maybe unintended consequence too, Dennis, schools are going to take a bit of a financial bath. What about how it affects the way coaches are paid?
Yeah, I'm working on that story right now. I think, in a sense, it gives coaches more job security because they, the sitting coaches right now, the schools aren't going to have enough money to buy them out. not to mention what it would cost to hire a new coach. I think, you know, one of the reasons Kirk Ferentz is still employed at Iowa after that big dust up with his strength coach, I think his buyout is $22.5 million. Well, Iowa probably can't afford that, so they can find a way to justify keeping this guy, even though the accusations against him and others on the staff keep coming, even after they've gotten rid of the strength coach. I think in the long run, the market will adjust, and we'll see, not the end, but an adjustment on the buyout, which are, I think everybody understands, are largely too much. The top 10 highest paid coaches, I looked at the USA Today database for the highest paid coaches, top 10 paid coaches, their average buyout, not the salary, the buyout, $28.9 million they were fired today. That's amazing.
A lot of us, on one hand, sort of intellectually understand that, you know, it doesn't matter if it's at the high school, college, or pro level, that the athletes and the coaches too are sort of being put in harm's way. But then there's the other side of us that just want to see the games. We're sort of getting tired about hearing how the sausage is made and all of that, Dennis. Are you conflicted in any way about that too?
I don't see how you put people in stadiums at this point. I mean, I know schools are selling tickets and season tickets, and Ohio State's talking about putting 50,000 in the SU. I just don't see the science in it. I mean, yeah, here's some beer. We'll tell you to wear a face mask. You're going to sit 6 feet apart and cough and yell and scream all over each other. That doesn't make sense at all. I mean, the only way to stop this, again, science. The only way to stop these viruses, going back to the Black Plague in the Middle Ages, you separate, you don't gather. You know, you wear a mask. Have you seen these pictures from the pandemic in 1918 with the flu? People are at football games, every single one of them, even though they're sitting together, they've gotten smart enough to wear masks. They're all wearing masks. If you just see that, the science proves to knock this down fairly quickly. I think right now, just having people in the stands, look what baseball's doing, NFL. And we talk about fans in the stands, NHL. Right now, I don't know. I don't get the science behind college football modeling that right now.
Dennis, great stuff as always. Good to speak to you. Stay safe and keep up the good work.
Yeah, I hope we have some football soon, guys. Thanks.
All right, that's Dennis Dodd from CBS Sports. All right, straight ahead, we're going to talk to Pete Sweeney, who covers the Kansas City Chiefs, a radio personality in Kansas City. So we'll get to that subject. 9:36 on the Wake Up Zone on 104.5 The Zone.